Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Hoke, brought to you by Salomon Auto Group. He's with us for the whole hour here in studio. It always goes by so quick. So let's wind up last week's game, and then we'll move ahead. This feels like one of those old highlight shows we used to watch. Remember those, Ron? Like the Notre Dame show that you'd watch?
It used to be the only one on every Sunday morning. Lindsey Nelson, let's go to further action in the third quarter.
It was the best show on television.
It was the only one. You had no college football on TV.
So they'd go over all the highlights with the coach or somebody, and then you'd look ahead to next week's game.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. I don't remember those shows, but maybe I'm...
Yeah, you're a young
that's
man.
That's okay. You're a little
Can I ask Chris
younger.
One thing
Please.
Here, first
yes.
of all? What'd you think of Tomlin's decision to kick off in overtime?
I knew you guys were going to ask me that. It's an interesting choice, and I understand his rationale. It's a risky one, right? If they would have gone down and scored a touchdown, he would have been just obliterated in the media following that game. But it worked out in his favor and got what he wanted. And I understand, you know, that what it tells me is that there is not a lot of trust in that kickoff return.
None.
Unit. And they've got to do something. They've got to put somebody back that has some wheels. You saw Justice Hill from the Ravens. He took that ball and he shot right into that hole, and he got upfield and had a 46-yard return and put him in good field position. We just don't have that speed back there right now. I mean, Ryan Switzer doesn't have the wheels to get up in the hole that quick. And so whether you kick it and guys are down to the 15-yard line when he catches the ball at the one or whatever, you've got to have the ability to run by people. And right now, we don't have that back there.
Hokie, I'm convinced Justin Tucker was the best player on the field.
Oh, man.
I mean, he changes the strategy in the game.
He does change the
he can make a field goal from 60, and then the kickoffs were perfect.
And depending on game situation, right? He kicked the ball in the end zone, just kicked the ball at the 25, or he just kicks the ball at you know, down to the one. He has the ability to do that. But I think when you're not scared about the return game, when you're not scared about the returner, you can put the ball up and let it hang and not worry about it because, you know, if the first guy misses, the other guy's going to be able to recover to bring him down.
Well, let's talk about some random plays and events in the game. All these years later, I remain thoroughly confused on the Brady rule about hitting a quarterback below the knees. I watched them call it on Ola the other day. I don't know why Ola was in the game, by the way, for the first part of a series when you're trying to protect a 23-20 lead. Mm-hmm. But he gets called for that. Then I watched the next night, Bosa on the 49ers hits Baker Mayfield, what I thought was clearly below the knees, and he doesn't get called for it. What did you think of the call?
Well, that's the problem right now in the NFL. A lot of these calls are very subjective, right?
That one should be clear.
It should be clear. But what happens is these referees are so worried about you know, them getting graded, them getting evaluated, what's going to happen to them. And so they just make these calls, and they're almost just throwing them just to be careful. And they're very subjective right now. And that call that they threw the flag on with Ola, horrible call. Horrible call. You reckon you watch it in slow motion. You watch the replay from both angles. He's hitting Lamar Jackson as he's throwing the ball. And so it's not a late hit. He hits him. His helmet's right at his waist. He slides down. I think that was a reactionary call to what happened to Mason Rudolph earlier in the game. And they just threw the flag because it was a hard hit on the quarterback.
That.
And I think they were just thinking, okay, we had that hard hit on Mason and maybe trying to balance it out. I don't know what, but I really believe it was reactionary.
Well, I also think these guys are taught protect the quarterback under any circumstances. Yeah. And if you're going to have a hard time deciding which way to go, throw the flag.
I agree, and you err in that way. I just think that completely changed that game. They had a huge impact on that game because it went from – they lost a yard on that play.
Right.
It would have been 3rd and 9.
Right.
And now and it was 2nd and 8 when the flag was thrown. It would have been 3rd and 9 the next play with a no call, but now you have 1st and 10, new set of downs, 15 yards down the field. It's just a game-changing call.
Well, talking about hitting quarterbacks, what was your take on Thomas's hit on Mason Rudolph?
You know what? I looked at it over and over again, and it just wasn't a dirty hit. I just think it was a hard hit, and you watch the way he comes in. Again, slow motion, because I wanted to see, And you watch Earl Thomas come in. He led with his chest. He wasn't at an angle where he was coming in with leading with his head. I believe he led with his chest. He led with his forearm, and he even tried to put his head to the right side, the left side of Mason Rudolph, his right side, and it just hit him right in the chin. And it's almost like you see a boxer, and he catches the other boxer right in the lower part of his chin and knocks him out. And there's something that like that happens, and it was just a perfect hit. And I don't think there was any intent to lead with his head. I don't think that it was really a headshot. It just, he grazed his chin and he knocked him out. And it's unfortunate. It's part of the game. And you hate to see that happen because it was so scary to watch that. But I don't believe that it was a dirty hit on Earl Thomas.
What was the scariest injury that you were on the field for, high school, college, pro, that you were actually out there where something like that may have happened?
Yeah, well you remember when we played the Ravens and Ryan Clark hit Willis McGahee. That
yes.
was pretty nasty. And Willis McGahee, I believe he was knocked out, wasn't he? And,
he was.
Ryan Clark was concussed on that play. It was a big-time hit by Ryan Clark, and so that's probably the worst one I've seen.
Speaking of the Brady rule, before that got enacted, there was the famous hit by Chemo on Carson Palmer in the playoff game. Yep. And I always wondered how that affected Chemo. Did he just look at that as, hey, that was part of the game, I was able to shake it off? Or did that affect him moving on?
I don't think it affected his play, but I think it affected him emotionally. Chemo is a really good man.
Yeah.
And he is a very likable man. He's very lovable to everybody around him. He played for the Bengals. There was no intent at all right there for Chemo. He just kind of came off the block, and the way
crawled
he was going,
he
was crawling into him.
Right.
And there was no intent there, but it did affect Chemo emotionally. He felt horrible about that.
I can attest to that. I talked to him the next day in the parking lot. And he even said, and I think it might have affected him a little bit in the game, because he said at one point Joey came over to him and said, get your head out of your you-know-what. You know, you didn't do it intentionally. Play the damn game.
Yeah,
he said Joey got into his face pretty good about it.
Yeah, and Joey, he was good at that, getting guys going, and if he felt like guys weren't living up to the standard. But, you know, Timo was one of those guys that loved everybody. I remember he would run out onto the field. At the break when the defense would come onto the field. He'd be the first guy out there as the opposing team's offense was coming on the field, and he would stand out there, and he would like, hey, brother, hey, brother, hey, brother. He would say hi to everybody. Hey, brother, what's going on, brother? You know? And he would just talk to the other guys. He was super kind, and he was friendly, but when he put the pads, when the whistle was blown, he was nasty.
Joe, I know we got to take a break here, but is it time to ask him the question of the week? Oh. Does he have duck mania and duck fever like a lot of other people do in this town? I want to hear his reaction, Joe.
Let's talk about that next. And let's take a look at the Chargers, because I know you've
Absolutely.
Taken a look at them yourself,
yep.
and their offensive line is sort of decimated right now with Pouncey and their big tackle out. Chris Hoke in studio till the top of the hour.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.